Welcome back to part two of 7 Keys to Profit. We're on page 13 of our manual and we're looking at key number four, which is hiring and selection. Now, if you call any real estate office and ask if they need salespeople, the answer in most cases is likely to be no. If you call the same real estate offices and ask, do you need more listings and sales, the answer is likely to be yes. The more sales you want your agency to make each month, the more salespeople you need. With a hiring system, you can attract the best applicants, and with correct induction procedures, you can develop them into winners. Now, hiring and selection can be broken down into four main areas. First of all, there's attraction. This is marketing for the purpose of finding winners to join your agency. Now, most agencies spend a lot of money marketing for listings and a lot of money marketing for buyers for their properties, but they spend very little money marketing for winners. And yet, if you look at most real estate teams, they have a shortage of winners. Coincidence? I don't think so. Now, attraction goes far beyond advertising for potential winners to apply for a position in sales. The labour market is currently skewed in favour of the employee, and if you want to attract the best, you must give them compelling reasons to apply. Money alone isn't sufficient, nor is high commission percentages. Approach attraction of winners in the same way as you would approach sellers about listing with your agency. Would you write an ad like this to attract sellers? Wanted, home sellers. You must be willing to price your property at current market prices. You must be willing to follow your salesperson's advice. You must get real. To apply, would you write an ad like that? Of course you wouldn't. Your ad would be full of benefits. You would offer benefits to sellers in calling you and enlisting with you. People want benefits. Now, likewise, A-grade candidates want to know the benefits they will experience if they leave their current jobs and come and work with you. So when advertising for winners, build plenty of benefits into your ads. Here's a good example. Have you ever wanted a career where you are your own boss, where you do fulfilling work that makes a difference in people's lives and are rewarded accordingly? If so, a career as a real estate salesperson may be for you. XYZ is an agency with a difference. We offer a starting salary of plus commissions that could easily see you earn in excess of $200,000 or more in your second year. No experience is necessary. We will support and train you. If you are an achiever who wants more from your career, this may be the opportunity of a lifetime. So you must get people interested in your offering. Benefits make people interested. Including a long list of screening criteria, a list of must-haves, is a real turn-off for A-grade candidates. Now let's look at number two, sorting. Identifying those candidates whom you feel have the greatest chance of becoming winners. Once you have the applications, now comes the time to screen out the unsuitable candidates and interview the suitable ones. All applications are by email only. Applicants attach a CV and a covering letter. If there's no covering letter, reject the applicant immediately because it's clear that they have not tailored their application toward impressing you. Most probably they've blanket emailed their CV to many prospective employers. People who are interested in the position you offer will tailor their CV to the position you're offering. The agency profit system teaches leaders how to correctly interpret CVs, but I'll give you two tips when reading CVs. The first is to look for gaps. Is there an unexplained period without employment? They may have been travelling, but they may have also worked for a company and left under bad circumstances. Since they know they'll get a bad reference from that employer, they leave a gap and often disguise it as travelling. If you see gaps, ask questions. The second tip is to watch for junk statements. These are statements that sound good, but which cannot be easily verified. So, for example, I'm a team player. It sounds good, but how do you prove it? Again, ask questions. You say you're a good team player. Give me an example from your last job where you worked effectively with a team and successfully completed a difficult project. Even if the applicant's CV was professionally prepared, he or she will not be schooled in this type of questioning. Don't be afraid to ask those difficult and excellent questions. Now, those applicants whose CVs interested you are now moved through a structured hiring system. And here are the main elements. First of all, a phone screen. Telephone the applicant and ask questions based on what you read in the application. Question any gaps, question any junk statements. Also, how did he or she sound on the phone? Decisive and professional, or vague and unengaging? Sales requires a good phone presence, I'm sure you'd agree. Next is interview. Now this will last 90 minutes, even longer. The agency profit system gives leaders a comprehensive list of questions to ask, but the main thing you should know is to talk little about you and your company and to get the applicant talking. If you haven't done so, question gaps in the employment history and keep questioning every junk statement. Next, you do a reference check, and this is very important. At the interview, ask the applicant, when I speak with your referees, what do you think they'll say about you? Now, this lets the applicant know that you will be checking his or her references. Reference checking needs to be done carefully. After introducing yourself and asking whether it's convenient to talk, the first question to ask the referee is his or her relationship with the applicant. You want to check business references, not references from friends or family. If this is a business referee, ask whether your applicant reported directly to this person. Now, sometimes people don't give their immediate supervisor as a reference because they left under bad circumstances. So instead, they give somebody else in the company as a referee. So you've got to ask the question, did this person report directly to you? Were you his or her boss? If the answer is no, ask for the name of the supervisor and call that person. Now, if there are no referees in the CV, ask for them. Absence of referees should not mean that you don't conduct a reference check. Now, the big question you must always ask the referee is, knowing what you know now, would you hire this person again? That will tell you everything you need to know. And remember, if the referee pauses or says, that means no. Now, the next stage of sorting is the offer of employment. We recommend that our leaders make an offer of employment to suitable applicants within a week of receiving their CV. You must be quick. Studies show that A-grade candidates will not wait around for procrastinating leaders to make up their minds. They are action-oriented people and will take a job that is on offer rather than wait for one they might get. So procrastinate and you'll only get to choose from the best of the B-grade candidates and not the best of the A's. Now, the third element of hiring and selection is pre-start training. Depending on their current situation, some applicants can commence training prior to joining the agency. But if they can't do that, then the day they start, you have to begin training them intensively. Applicants commence in the agency on a 3-month trial, and you must get them productive as possible, as quickly as possible, which means that you have to train them. And from day 2, have them begin applying that training so that you see results quickly. Now, we recommend to our leaders that they set study, actions, and results expectations from the very first day. We also recommend to our leaders that they make clear the non-negotiables that will mean instant dismissal if they're not adhered to. Now, some of the non-negotiables are study, 30 hours per month. Seminar attendance, that's compulsory. Days off are no excuse for not attending seminars when they're in town. Team meetings, they have to arrive on time. Prospecting, rookies begin by speaking to 80 potential sellers every working day. When they join the sales team, they continue prospecting by speaking to 40 potential sellers every working day, in addition to their other sales duties. Inconsistent prospecting means dismissal. Rookies are expected to study Pittard's flagship sales training program, Winning Ways, which is a comprehensive 250-page manual. Before the end of their trials, they'll be required to pass an exam so that we know that they've learned the program and not pretend to have studied it. They're required to read 2 books, Inside Real Estate by Peter O'Malley and Why Winners Win, which is my book. Both are published by Wiley and both expand on the rookie's knowledge, better equipping them for a career in professional selling. Now, rookies, under guidance with their leaders, also prepare their listing presentation materials, most of which is supplied by Pittard. They must learn the agency's points of difference and be capable of delivering a compelling presentation before they're allowed to represent the company. Now, this is checked at a listing presentation exam, a role play delivered to the leader. Once the leader signs off on the rookie's competence as a lister, he or she can then begin listing properties. Now, if you don't have an effective and proven induction system, you almost certainly doom your rookie to incompetence and mediocrity. You also doom your agency to lost profit. The best investment of your time and money is the investment in building and keeping a winning team. This is the future of your business. Now, let's go over onto page 15 and we look at key number 5, training and coaching. There is something that will give you a 75% guarantee of keeping your people, and that's great recruitment. Start with the right people and leadership becomes much easier, but you still must lead, train and coach the right people. So you've got to get into the habit of working with each team member individually first and then with the team as a whole. If you want to increase your team performance, focus first on each individual within the team. 20% of the strategies you use give 80% of the effect. Design actionable development plans for each individual. These have a huge effect on individual performance. And do be mindful of your team size. Your team can either be too large or too small. If the team's too small, you almost have the shag on a rock syndrome developing. If the team size is too big, that is more than 7 people plus a sales controller, then you're likely to find that the team will split into 2 unofficial smaller teams. So around about 7, it's starting to get maximum team size. On page 16, let's look at a compelling why. Now, rookies who successfully complete their trial tasks and are appointed as permanent salespeople must be put on the right track from the first day. If you want this person to be consistent in action and performance, you must set goals, and the goals must be why-based. Why does this person want to succeed? Why is your salesperson willing to perform large amounts of actions? If there is no why, I can guarantee you there'll be no consistency. So every salesperson must have clear written goals and a plan. All salespeople must have a compelling why. If you want consistency from your rookie, you have to instill the right habits from the start. You want your rookie to set goals, to always follow a plan, to write affirmations, and to complete sufficient winning actions to achieve high targets consistently. To achieve consistency, you must work with your team members individually. Rookie and experienced salesperson alike, train and coach each team member individually and regularly. If they're on your team, you've got to work with them, each team member, individually and as a team. You're their leader, you're their trainer, and you have to be seen as their coach too. I explain the reasons for rollercoaster performance in my book, Why Winners Win. Most salespeople are not focused because they don't have clear written goals. In the absence of goals, they drift through the day, the week, the month. Many drift through their entire careers. Salespeople must have goals that they want so much that they're willing to do all of the actions necessary to achieve those goals. When salespeople fear prospecting, and many do, they should learn to fear losing their goals more than they fear doing the actions necessary to achieve those goals. No goals, no hope. We encourage our leaders to conduct regular goal setting and goal review sessions with each of their salespeople. If you can get the want high enough, you'll get the actions higher too. And if you train your people, the actions will become more competent over time. Training and coaching was an element that was missing from earlier versions of Pittard's management system. I guess we just assumed that leaders would take it as a given that they needed to work with the individuals on their teams if they wanted to be able to pull these individuals together into a focused, cohesive team. But it wasn't happening to the level we felt it should. And so we introduced training and coaching as an essential element to building a profitable agency. You know the saying, there's no I in team. You better believe that there is an I in team. And that is the individuals who make up the team. And as their leader, you'd better have a good relationship with each member on the team. When your people see you as their trainer and coach, they'll perform better for you and they'll be easier to lead. It all begins with a compelling why. Give your people your time, guide them to greatness. Now on page 18, you'll see profit key number 6, which is results control. Keith Rosen said in his excellent book, Coaching Salespeople into Sales Champions, sales training is what you need to become a salesperson. Sales coaching is what you need to become a sales champion. Winning teams comprise individual winners, the total of which makes up the team. If the leader allows even one person to remain below an acceptable standard, the team as a whole becomes compromised. By implementing key number 5, which is training and coaching, you work with individuals, a leader bringing out the best in each team member. Your work on this element is never done. When implementing key number 6, results control, you work with the team as a whole. A group of individuals only becomes a team when the leader draws them together, united in peak performance. Results control means control of the team, control of the agency, and control of the results. There's 3 elements to results control. Remember that you have a business, you must direct it towards the profit of your choice. To do this, you've got to have control. So first of all, planning. This applies to individual salespeople and to officers equally. Just as salespeople must have a plan, so too must their officers. A company's business plan should be aligned with its leader's goals. As the owner of a real estate business, your company is the vehicle for you to achieve your goals. So planning meetings are essential to agency results control. The minimum standard for planning meetings is 10 monthly planning meetings, 1 annual planning meeting. Remember, you're lost without a plan. You also need to be involved in team training and coaching, which is on page 19. Leaders work with individual salespeople in one-on-one sessions. Now, because of these sessions, leaders come to know each salesperson well. Leaders come to know each salesperson's goals, what motivates their salespeople's fears, things like that. And because individuals often need to be managed differently, most importantly, the leader learns how to manage each salesperson. Knowing each team member is crucial to being able to manage the team as a whole. Now, you'll be less likely to encounter resistance to change if you know your people and if they know you. They will never doubt your motives. There must be no us and them mentality. Now, each team member trains independently by reading, listening to audio programs and watching video programs. Winners are intensely interested in their profession and learn constantly. Now, in addition to this training, the leader calls the team together for regular training meetings. These meetings include seminars, workshops, and in-house training meetings. The third element of control is course correction. Never leave it to the end of the month to face the reality that the office has fallen short of target. To achieve high profits, officers must achieve consistent results. Salespeople whose results fluctuate contribute to the office's inconsistent results. Salespeople with chronic fluctuating results must be counseled by the leader in one-on-one coaching sessions, which is an important element of training and coaching, which is profit key number 5. Re-examine the salesperson's goals, actions, ratios, and commitment. If there's no improvement, the salesperson should be dismissed. The thing to remember is you must work only with committed people. Leaders understand that one-off inconsistent results can occur, but that does not mean they should do nothing about it. Constantly monitor each salesperson and the office's results as a whole. Take corrective action with individual salespeople daily. Don't allow an action slip to turn into a slump. Take corrective action with the team weekly. If the office is behind in targets, correct sooner rather than later, and you use your sales meetings to take that corrective action. And now for profit key number 7, which is listing flow. This is where we aggressively market for listings. Now, through effectively implementing key number 5, which is training and coaching, and key number 6, which is results control, we ensure that our salespeople are sufficiently skilled to turn large numbers of leads that result from key number 7, listing flow, into exclusive listings and then into sales. Now, you can't make large numbers of sales if you don't have large numbers of listings. Listings are the lifeblood of your agency. Now, every agency needs a constant flow of quality listings. If the listing flow is low, this indicates that the agency is doing insufficient marketing, that the sales team and the home finders, and by the way, a home finder is a permanent prospector. That's all they do. They just do full-time prospecting. So it could indicate that the sales team or the home finders are not doing sufficient prospecting. It could indicate that the leads are not being converted into listings, or it could be a combination of all of the above. Now, the fourth profit key, hiring and selection, the fifth profit key, training and coaching, and the sixth profit key, results control, come before listing flow for a reason. The fourth, fifth, and sixth profit keys are team building elements. The seventh profit key, listing flow, is a marketing element. Marketing is expensive, and all officers must make the most of the leads that their marketing generates. Now, this means that you must send out competent people to turn those leads into business. Otherwise, you're wasting a lot of money on the marketing that your company's doing. You're also wasting a lot of money on salaries paid to ineffective and incompetent salespeople. If your team skill is poor, although you might generate leads, your conversion rate will be low, wasting a lot of money. You might want to write this down. Listings lost to the opposition are the greatest cost to an agency. Before you market for listings, get your team right. Never allow incompetent people to represent your agency. Your reputation is at stake. Even team members that list many properties require practice to keep their skills sharp. It is possible to list many properties and not realize that you've begun taking expensive shortcuts, skipping over vital points during the listing presentation, and not setting up to sell properly. This often becomes obvious when sellers fail to follow the salesperson's advice by refusing to reduce prices or by refusing to accept good, fair offers. Training keeps your salespeople sharp. Regular listing practice keeps lead conversion rates high. Let's look at some important ratios, and you, as a marketer, need to know these ratios. First of all, your list-to-sell ratio. This is the percentage of listings that become sales. It's important that the leader monitors this ratio, which can change with time. Now, the list-to-sell ratio is a good indication of the current team's skill level, the quality of the agency's listings, the quality of the salesperson's relationships with their sellers. In some markets, your office might sell every property listed. In other markets, you might have to work hard to get listings priced to sell and to make sales. Now, for planning purposes, if your office only accepts exclusive listings, a list-to-sell ratio of approximately 60% is a safe place to start. Now, as I said before, with open listings, you need 10 open listings to receive the same result as with one exclusive listing. The list-to-sell ratio with open listings will be closer to 6% for planning purposes. Now, I know you might say, well, at the moment, I'm selling everything I list. But you know what? Markets change. And so for planning purposes, especially if you've got rookies looking after sellers, you might find that you're not selling everything that you list. So work on 60% and you're going to underestimate rather than overestimate, which means that if you're wrong, you'll make more profit than you'd plan to, not less. So let's look at how to calculate your list-to-sell ratio on page 23. It's best calculated over the past year if you have records for that period. Now, your list-to-sell ratio equals sales divided by listings percent. So, for example, if you have 500 sales from 900 listings, you have a 56% list-to-sell ratio. You must know your list-to-sell ratio at all times. Planning to achieve your profit goals requires that you know how much profit you need to reach your goals, how many sales required to earn that profit, and then using your list-to-sell ratio, you calculate how many listings required to make those sales. And then by calculating the average number of listings each salesperson can reliably produce each month, you calculate the team size required to achieve your profit goals. And that gives you, number four, how many winning salespeople you need to get the listings and sales targets required. So the list-to-sell ratio, as you can see, is a vital calculation. On page 24, let's look now at your present-to-list ratio. You have to know how many presentations equals how many listings. Each salesperson's present-to-list ratio is an indication of their skill. The present-to-list ratio can fall for two reasons, and for each salesperson, you must be aware of which reason it is. It can be number one, too many presentations scheduled with people who aren't ready to sell, that is, poor qualifying prior to setting the appointment. Or it could be number two, poor listing presentations to people who are ready to sell. So the present-to-list ratio is a similar calculation to the list-to-sell ratio. Present-to-list ratio equals properties listed divided by appointments percent. So, for example, 10 listings from 12 appointments, you have an 83% present-to-list ratio. Salespeople with an 83% present-to-list ratio will receive 10 listings per month as long as they set 12 quality listing appointments. If you're not happy with this ratio, as long as you know it, you can work with a salesperson at improving it. You must know the ratios, you must know the numbers, you must gather the stats. A major question to be answered by every leader or sales controller is, how many presentations are on today? The main factor in increasing your present-to-list ratio is skill. The success of an agency depends on the attitude and the skill of its leader and its team. Consistency is critically important. Winning leaders and salespeople understand the importance of numbers and ratios and their relationship to sales success. We know that if we make a set number of prospecting calls, we should receive a predictable number of listings. We know that if we send out a set number of marketing letters, we should receive a set number of listings. We know that what we do and we know that what we don't do all have consequences. So whether it's a team or an individual, the key to consistent results lies in consistency of competent action. For individual success, salespeople must do a large amount of prospecting every day. For office success, there must be a large amount of marketing every day. Low numbers of actions lead to low results. Inconsistent action leads to inconsistent results. Consistency is the leader's responsibility. Easy marketing is another consideration. Most real estate offices do the easy stuff. They use the marketing sources that every other agency uses, and then they complain that their marketing is stale and that they need new material. These leaders focus on the what. Perhaps they should focus on the where. Don't focus on what your office is sending out. Focus on where you send your message. Perhaps you don't need new marketing. You need new marketing sources. Now, there are many marketing opportunities open to you, and we explain these on page 26. Some are the easy sources that all agencies use. Others are the road less travelled. Easy or hard, your office should be using them all. A home finder. As I said before, this is a person who is employed full-time and they do nothing but prospect for new business. And I say to our offices, if you don't have a home finder, I assume that you must be rich. Door knocking for various reasons. Telephone prospecting is another one, and sure, I know that there's a do not call register in Australia, there's not in New Zealand, and there's not in Southeast Asia. But with a washed telephone list, you can still telephone prospect. You can follow up businesses for sale, you can follow up garage sales on the telephone. So there's plenty of telephone prospecting that you can do as long as you're not looking for excuses as to why it wouldn't work. Following up inquiries by telephone, working client lists, adding contacts with permission to your database, emails to subscribers, letters to your database, newsletters to subscribers, leaflets delivered under doors, and by the way, under doors will get them read, putting them in letterboxes most likely won't. Classified ad follow-up, such as businesses for sale. People that are selling a business, for example, are often selling a property as well. Your website, getting your website right so that it actually generates business. Blogging, video, Google loves video, and if you want to rank high in search engine optimization, you must be involved in video. Social media, a good cohesive social media program. And in some areas, especially regional areas, radio and TV might be an option. Community events, appearing at community events. And another one that a lot of leaders don't think of is increasing your team size, because as I said before, if you want to make more sales, you need more salespeople. With easy marketing, there's plenty of competition for attention. So think about some of those road less travelled sources. With marketing that's more difficult to implement, there is less competition for attention. Leads from these sources often see us with little competition for the listing. Every marketing avenue that you or your salespeople neglect to use causes your agency to lose income and profit. So every day, salespeople prospect, and Pittard clients have a prospecting buddy that helps them identify potential sellers. So salespeople prospect a minimum of 40 potential sellers every day. Home finders prospect a minimum of 80 potential sellers per day. Office marketing to all of the marketing sources legally open to you. And remember that you should never, ever let your office close without a result. How do you know that your salespeople are prospecting? Well, of course, your call report will tell you if they are. Your form guide will tell you if they're prospecting effectively, and the control board will also tell you, because you'll see results from that prospecting. Explore every marketing source you can, have an active team that prospects, market your agency every day using every listing source you can, make it a habit, make it consistent. Be sure of your office's capacity to market for listings. Let's look at the types of marketing at the bottom of page 27. Now, I know that there's a lot of different types of marketing, but Pretty Well Marketing breaks down into three main areas: personal, digital, and print. Now let's look at personal marketing. Salespeople must prospect the area. Getting out and meeting people is an underrated strategy, but essential to branding your agency. Relationship building and developing trust around your brand is a crucial element of real estate sales. Digital includes your website, social media strategy, email campaigns, things like that. Hard copy leaflets can be converted to digital format and emailed to your database. Home alerts to advertise your new listings can be delivered online. A coordinated digital marketing campaign is a worthwhile investment. However, it can be complex to set up. We recommend you seek expert advice to get this working effectively. Social media should not be given to the office junior simply because he or she grew up with this technology. To quote digital marketing expert Jay Bayer, whom I interviewed on our streaming platform Pittard TV, Jay said, "It's easier to teach somebody who knows a lot about the business how to tweet than it is to teach somebody who knows how to tweet everything they need to know about the business. Get digital marketing working properly so it can generate leads 24/7. Don't do it and you'll need to rely on print and personal marketing. So please do contact Pittard if you'd like us to help you get started with a digital marketing campaign." Print is the third marketing area. You must create brand awareness in your service area. Print marketing is mostly in the form of personally addressed letters and hard copy printed leaflets, including signs. Newspapers may be of little value in the majority of areas, and for the most part, they're not worth the cost. If you don't have a good CRM, a good database with a large number of local homeowners' names and contact details, it's even more important that you have a team of walkers to deliver leaflets into every letterbox. Underdoors is better. In your service area at least once a month. Please contact Pittard if you'd like advice on your first leaflet. Now, letters, when personally addressed, should not be posted, as this is too expensive. Print your letters, sort them, and have them delivered to each street by walkers. It will save you a lot of money. So on page 29, the 7 keys to profit will help you take control of your business. You see, your business should really give you a life and not consume it. People start a business for one reason: to improve the quality of their lives. They know it's a risk and they take these risks, but sadly many people discover that owning a business is not what they expected. They expected to have more freedom, instead they feel like slaves. They expected to be financially secure, instead they find themselves in a constant state of financial anxiety. They expected to have more family time, but often time with family takes second place to business survival. They expected to be able to control their own destiny. Instead, they feel controlled, trapped, and susceptible to the whims and the moods of others. They feel caught up and out of control. They hope that one day it will get better, but each year they face the same problems, the same worries. With the 7 keys to profit, your business will run automatically without your constant input. You'll be able to go away from your business for lengthy periods, knowing that it will continue to produce great profits. If you wish to play an active role in your business, you can. If you wish to pursue other interests, you can. Your business should function regardless of what you choose to do. A business that runs automatically, regardless of who owns it, is a very valuable asset. So as we come to the end of 7 Keys to Profit, I ask you, who else wants more profit? Every training company claims to make its clients more profitable, but how many truly prove they do? All claims look good in the brochure, but before you invest your hard-earned money, as an astute business person, don't you want proof that the training you invest in produces results? Pittard are real estate agency profit consultants, the only ones who dare to use the profit and loss statements of its clients as its brochure. Ask any franchise, marketing group, or typical training companies for the profit results of their top 30 clients and see for yourself whether they're happy to give them to you. We're happy to put you in touch with as many of our clients as you feel necessary to prove that our training makes our people more profitable. Pittard clients will be happy to talk with you, business person to business person. They'll tell you what their businesses were like pre-Pittard and post-Pittard. We're proud of the profits our officers make, and so too are those officers' leaders. These leaders and their teams are working hard towards creating exciting and profitable real estate businesses, but don't take our word for it, talk to them. And that brings us to the end of this podcast series, 7 Keys to Profit. Although I could not give you complete systems for each of the components I explained in this program, I have given you a lot of information, which, if you act on it, will greatly increase your profit. A New Zealand leader attended this program when I presented it live, and he told me that he managed to take his profit margin from 10% to 22% in just 12 months. Doubling your profit, I'm sure you'd agree, is not too shabby. But you can do better than 22%. You should expect profits in excess of 30% if you have the right systems in place. Why do property management departments produce consistent income and profits, do you think? The answer is because property management departments are better systemized than sales departments generally are. This tells me that if you can implement systems into property management, you can also do it for sales. That is, if you have systems, understand them, and if you want to make more profit. Don't let anybody tell you that it can't be done. Many Pittard offices have sales departments that are run like well-oiled machines. They have trained teams that earn high incomes, while the agencies themselves have ample money to pay all the expenses with plenty left over for the leader's profit. One more tip before I leave you. You will not achieve the type of agency I've just described by following typical industry practices and using typical industry systems. If you're tired of working hard and not having much money to show for all your effort, contact Pittard and let us help you. If you're not operating in an area where a Pittard has a member office, I offer you an obligation-free inspection of the agency profit system. Contact Pittard and a team member will give you the dates of the next agency profit system presentation. We'd be happy to show you the entire system. You can attend without having to pay any money, and nobody will put you under any pressure to do more if you decide upon inspection that the agency profit system is not for you. And if, after inspecting the agency profit system, you decide that you'd like Pittard to help you transform your business and to boost your profits, we would be delighted to work with you. After inspection of the agency profit system, we would conduct a present condition analysis of your business to determine where you are now. The next step would be for us to determine, in consultation with you, your clear profit goals. From there, we design an action plan to get you there. Building a great business does take time and effort, but so too does running a struggling business that's going nowhere. Something to think about. I'm Gary Pittard. Thank you for joining me for 7 Keys to Profit. Do stay in touch. Bye for now.